Poetry on the Radio, poetry in and around the ACT. Today we go back to a February 2023 reading at the Manning Clark House in Forest by Andrew Jeffrey Kwabena Moss, plus The Rhyming Bugle, poetry news from the Canberra region. For ArtSound FM, I'm Peter Searles. At his reading at the Manning Clark House in 2023, Andrew Jeffrey Kwabena Moss was introduced by my co-host on Poetry on the Radio, Kimberly K. Williams. Note that since the time of this reading, Andrew Moss has published two more volumes of poetry, Objections, Scars and Artifacts from Rosie Ravelston Books in 2023, and Outside of Here, Outsider Here, with Recent Work Press in 2024.
Andrew Moss is a writer and a teacher who's lived in the UK, Japan, and currently here in Australia. Of Anglo-Ghanaian heritage, his work seeks to explore and challenge liminal landscapes, complex identities, and the social constructs of race. Most recently, his work is featured in the Best New British and Irish Poets Anthology 2019 to 2021, the Black Spring Press Group, Poetry for the Planet, an Anthology of Imagined Futures, Nambono, an Anthology of Speculative Poetry by BIPOC Poets by Sundress Publications. His work was included in Beyond Alienation, Hatred and Terror, Poetry in Times of Conflict series, Writers Workshop India, and the Black Anthology Language 2 with 1010 Press. Andrew has received two Best of Net Awards, a Pushcart Prize, and a Riesling Award nomination for his poetry. Please welcome Andrew.
Thank you very much. Basically, I'll be reading from three collections as I spruik my wares. So the first one, as promised, will take you on a journey, hopefully, to parts of Japan. Okay, the first poem that I would like to read really contrasts the Occidental and Oriental stereotypes and very much some of the stereotypes that people mentioned to me just before I went to Japan for just over 2.5 years where I travelled and taught English. So this poem is called On Leaving Cozy Beds, because I grew up in Bedfordshire. I'm told not to go, the usual mumbo jumbo. Like the three kings, my neighbours arrive with their gifts wrapped up in themselves. They offer precious treasure. Oblique warnings thinly disguised, worn on sleeve, advice before goodbyes. You can't trust those slanty eyes. Ever thought what lurks beneath those smiles? Don't be surprised when they stab a katana in your back. They don't like redheads or blacks. It's more progressive here. Watch for attack. Japs prefer blondes. Blue eyes, they think it's better. Oh, well, there's always the weather. And oh, yeah, beware their kamikaze antics. They're full of trickery. Mind their deceptive tactics. Gould knows what they think. In fact, come to mention it, I can never tell a nip from a chink. So went the myths and imaginary narratives. The next poem is about me going on a plane and confronting some of those stereotypes that I was subjected to. And I met a lovely lady whilst I was reading a book by a journalist from The Independent, who basically said in one of the travel chapters, you're in big trouble if you have, Afro-Caribbean heritage in Japan. People will think you smell, etc., etc. So I put the book down and I started to engage in a lovely conversation with a Japanese lady. So this is called Plain Conversation. Why does she keep pointing to her nose? The index tip rests on her proboscis. She talks to me gingerly. Her head dips in deference, a butterfly nodding in pollen, by nature defenceless. Ocean waves billow below us, in soft broken Japlish inflected with hope. Gently her antennae probes for conversation. we navigate language as tentatively as a boxer on the ropes. Maiden flights of Nihongo and Eigo emerge from her lips. The nose of the plane touches clouds, propelled, shifting gears across continents of doubt. She watak she was in a waggle dance, leading me to sweet red nectar. Hinomaru treasure, I buzz as we near. Honey viscous, nerves thick with fear. My forefinger forms a bookmark and I listen. My thumb covers the blurb warning in crimson. Fear of redheads and black devils. What should I expect when we hit the ground level? And then obviously I arrived and I spent a fair bit of time in convenience stores, known as konvini. And I was fascinated by something called tachiyomi, which means the two verbs standing reading. And it seemed to be a bit of a pastime. People would go into the store and just read a magazine, which I thought was fantastic. I did the same, but some of the convenience stores would put cellophane over the magazines as a warning, a way of thwarting tachiyomi. So this is called tachiyomi. I'm at the local konvini, a sailor lost at sea, lost in Bermuda triangles of the niggery. I'm a DJ liberating records from seaweed sleeves, a Tyler tessellating bento boxes silently. A manga fan thwarted in the aisle, sealed out by cellophane. How dare they stop my tachiyomi? This country is insane. Such censorship profane. I lived in, well, I left a town called Leighton Buzzard in Bedfordshire, which people thought had a funny name. And I had the pleasure of living then I moved to a place called Makuhari Hongo, which was in Hanami Gawaku, which also seemed to be something of a cross that I would bear when I try to explain where I lived. So this is called Home, and it's about those funny names. Makuhari Hongo, Hanami Gawaku, perfumed prefectures, scents we never knew. Sakura fireworks light up the smoggy sky. Signs light up, scroop and scrape the night. Boso zoku vibrate the mantle of your dreams. Catch the blossoming before it's no longer seen. Across Shibuya crossings in zebra black and white, metal canister of hot coffee drop, vending machines for the lonely and the lost, through concrete jungle tunnels, savannah summer parks, skewer seppuku swords piercing your heart, magical journeys, darkness into light.
Today on Poetry on the Radio, we're hearing Andrew Jeffrey Kwabena Moss reading in 2023 at the Manning Clark House.
Okay, now I definitely have a bit of a thing for cherry blossom. When I first arrived in Japan, I remember being in a train station at night time and a salary man was there giving his golf swing. And I thought, you know, and he looked like he'd enjoyed some drinks on that occasion and he was doing the golf swing. And then I spoke to a few people and I said, is that, you know, what normally happens? They explained, you know, in cherry blossom season, people really celebrate nature and have a fantastic time. This is called Cherry Blossom Rain. Shoegazing in Ueno, head down, looking at the brown edged petals. Cherry blossom rains on the boy from South Beds after the stormy downpour, remembering. The hot cliff road snow that turned to yellow, then fermented brown to polluted black, trodden down in Leighton's rush hour commotion. How strange this cherry blossom snow, how strange these flurries of the imagination, these blizzards that freeze emotion, how strange these light showers of fate ephemeral. And the next poem continues the theme of cherry blossom, and it is a nod to the samurai belief in the ephemeral beauty of blossom itself, and that if we are to live, we are to live beautifully, even though it may be for a short time. So this is called Blossoming to Ward Death. The cherry blossom's gossamer silken stream gathers, consciousness transiently fleeting like the pirouette of a Finland skater on thin ice as the scroop of kimono drifts, offering death's reminder for the way of warriors, ready in final contemplation, utter Bushido in a short last breath, five-sided blossoms thin as paper traced and left. The next few poems that I'd like to read are from Manifest O, which is a manifesto for peace and convivial living. I've been warned when you're in Canberra, don't talk about manifestos. But I get away with it in Golden.
Unless they're convivial.
Okay, excellent. They are convivial, I hope. So the first one is called Misread, and it's a poem about being categorised and pigeonholed, and there are a few sort of library puns. So, Misread. This poem is dedicated to the lost civilizations and nations, the dispossessed and misplaced, judged and recovered, pages flicked through and cast aside on dusty bookshelves. Dear reader, where should I begin as I flick through the pages within? Far from the back where the chapters are fat? At the back pages where they're faded and withered, mottled, dog-eared and torn with a jaded tinge? Or in the lean, lithe middle past the pages that giggle before complications twisted plots? You have an exotic cover bound to be published by private press. The blurb speaks of persuasive eccentricity, British brogue, Ghanaian ancestry. History's pages have stolen and enslaved us. Historiographies and holocausts stamped in the past. Now I'm scanned by a red glow of fear, uncertainty classified between Afro-futuristic fiction and post-colonial non-fiction. Liminal post-Dewey systems. The illustrations disappointing, only drawn in black and white. Ill-fitting fictions, roughly sketched depictions of seldom heard voices. Proofread too many times for syntax. My cohesion is intact. Across paragraphs and transatlantic pages, I bounce forth and back, a polysemic text, vexed by an old-fashioned reading. Okay, next one. I know you quite enjoyed this one. Is called Saintly Francis, and it's about a cleaner that I met when I taught in Northwest London. Lovely guy. He was from Sierra Leone, and he used to carry a huge novel with him. So I got chatting to him after school, and he explained that he was an accountant, and he was waiting for his papers from the Home Office before he could get other work. So this is called Saintly Francis. Francis sweeps the floors in hope, soaps down dirty walls, knocks gingerly at the head teacher's emerald door before he vacuums her red carpet floor. His life in a vacuum of another type, he waits for his papers from the Home Office, whilst we paper over the cracks of the injustice, saying prayers behind his back. Francis, an accountant by trade, counting down his days, waiting for his papers. Abacus beads of perspiration, sweat glistens, drip. I listen in to his tragedy. He explains his narrative in optimistic lilt. Lullabies of Sierra Leonean Creole. tones tinged with French accents, where R's and W's collide, waiting for his far from home office papers, paper chained delays. He's a number, numbering the days, made stranger, waiting for a stamp, approval at a cost. Okay, there was an Afrofuturistic poem that I felt obliged to read after the intro, but in the interest of time, I'll go for something a little bit shorter. So one of the sections of this book is about housing, and it's about the intersection between inequality in housing and race. This is called Housing Hate in Flames. No Irish, no blacks, no dogs, no myth. Watch the curtain twitch, knock at the door, rat-a-tat-tat, look at its vacant sign to attract, sigh and receive the breath, a circle of spit, the gift, a door slammed squarely, rectangular, in your face. We won't accommodate, this is not your place. De facto dealings discriminate. In ticked off housing lists, racial applications made rackman rackets, socially engineered in clearances, while slum landlords violate rental agreements and tenancy laws, caught at the doorstep once more, waiting, seeking shelter from race relations and policies of immigration. They burn us in plastic-clad towers, artificial facades of artifice, made to gleam for the benefit of the gentrified who hide but will not seek. Okay, on a more optimistic note, I've got a section, the last section of the collection is called Peace, and the piece was inspired by the writer Zadie Smith, who I'm sure you'll know, in 2000 wrote her novel White Teeth, white teeth being the symbol of multiculturalism. I was lucky enough to live in that same postcode, and I'm also inspired by the sociologist Paul Gilroy, who talks about planetary humanism and a wider perspective on things that are really inconsequential, like so-called race. I was doing some tutoring for a child who lived, it was a two up, two down, sort of upstairs, you know, downstairs arrangement. And at the top of the flat, I taught Ibrahim, and he was from Nigerian, so Yoruba and Jamaican parents. And then I remember one afternoon I'd been tutoring him, and then I went downstairs. There was another student from the school who lived at the bottom. They invited me in. They're from Pakistan. We had a lovely meal, all of us together. So this poem is called Ordinary Hybrid Bliss. Amidst maisonette curtained streets, flanking the park in NW6, chewing on mundane realities, rice, peas, roast beef and chapatis, white teeth chatter convivially in this corner of the metropolis, ordinary hybrid bliss. Racial difference reduced to oblivion. Concrete sciences set in mind stone, discriminating simplification. Histories, objects, places and times, mutants, foreigners, roles assigned. Classed as confusing, destructive objects fabricated in fictional reality. In the houses of Khan and Adebisi, two up, two down, imaginative geography vanishes. Jamaican, Yoruba, Pakistani neighbours, everyday mundane relations, upstairs, downstairs, hybrid nation, wed in the matrimony of exotic estrangement, white teeth chatter convivially in this corner of the metropolis, ordinary hybrid bliss, racial difference reduced to oblivion. We design in our mind's eye familiar spaces, yours and mine, ours and theirs. Arbitrary designs, unfamiliar places. Imaginative geographies, boundaries established in minds. Our land, barbarian land binaries. territory and mentality demarcated negative identities. Yusuf and Ibrahim stutter through Bismillah. Winsome and Habiba discuss diets of how to get thinner. White teeth chatter convivially in this corner of the metropolis. Ordinary hybrid bliss. Racial difference reduced to oblivion. The poetics of space, intimacies, secrecy and security, corners, corridors, cellar rooms, objective space reduced to imaginative value, emotional areas made rational by poetic process, vacant, anonymous reaches, distance converted into meaning. Oluwale and Urshad bemoan their son's poor performance at madrasa. White teeth chatter convivially in this corner of the metropolis. Ordinary hybrid bliss. Racial difference reduced to oblivion. Imaginative geography and history, intensifying sense of self, dramatizing distance and difference by what is close and far away, represents, animates, creates otherwise silent and dangerous space beyond familiar boundaries. Ibrahim and Yusuf listen to beats of spontaneous and ordinary hybridity plugged into their headphones from their AirPods lifted. Technologically trebled and based in this city, white teeth chatter convivially in this corner of the metropolis, ordinary hybrid bliss. Intersectional identities, solidarity, class, gender, sex and faith, rendering race unthinkable, beyond skin invisible. White teeth chatter convivially in this corner of the metropolis, ordinary hybrid bliss, racial difference reduced to oblivion. Everything you got, tell them little pussies that we take the whole lot. You ain't got no backbone. Okay, so I'll read just one from Diaspora Cubed. The title comes from a Kenyan poet who came up with the idea of home squared, talking about his, so he's called Binyavanga Wainaina, and his book is a memoir, and in that book he talks about his mum, who's Ugandan, and his dad being Kenyan, and he talks about that mixed heritage being squared, so I've added another dimension with three aspects of heritage. Anyway, this is called Black Caesarian, and it's about Australia's first bushranger, who historians think was either born in Madagascar or he may have been born in the West Indies. So this is called Black Caesarian. I'm sorry to say that I need to remove it. Surgically burst your bubble, this amniotic sack of trouble. Clinically, I'll sterilise the archives. I'll dig and scrape for facts and draw neat narrative lines with the scalpel poised for precision. For your own good, I'll split your history, veins, raw nerves and tissues of lies, by C-section inside and deliver the naked truth. I'll drain the fluid membrane fabrication, rupture its protective front foot defence, somersaulting confidence. History's womb must be laid open. Roll open the tombs of Saviour. Let's break its waters in diluvial denouement. Pour libation, celebrate the wetting of the head and rituals, a biblical cutting of an umbilical cord that feeds misinformation. Red at the very placenta, propaganda. I'll deliver you a black baby son or daughter, founder of your nation. My first delivery is an African, proud, from a line of marinage, traced back from West Africa to Jamaica, to the States, Britain, then to Australia. Here in Australia, Black Caesar. What a revolution, unwritten in textbook pages. A loyalist runaway slave who fought with the British, ingratiated by their promises of manumission. In the American Revolution, at the birth of its nation. In the early days of settlement, dependable Caesar was regarded with favour, a strong labourer. None were of greater stature, a giant of a man. Alas, his appetite could not be satisfied. A rationed allocation that took no account of his size. After 10 hours of back-breaking labour each day, he stole enough to get a little bit to eat. Caesar was caught and sent to Garden Island imprisonment. The maroon in his blood coursed in his veins. He did it again. He took a boat and rations and went off into the bush. Australia's first bush ranger, following maroon traditions of survival against oppressors. So, you see, just like Nanny in Jamaica, it's not the story that white Australia favours. Cutting through the interior of dense forests, corridors of obfuscation hacked, with his cutlass blade making incisions, a C-section through history. The messy afterbirth of a colonial nation. High time we delivered a black Caesarian to Australia. Thank you.
Today on Poetry on the Radio, we've heard Andrew Jeffrey Kwabena Moss reading in February 2023 at the Manning Clark House in Forest. For ArtSound FM, I'm Peter Searles.
The Rhyming Bugle. At Smith's Alternative in Civic, on Monday, March 31, that poetry thing is a big open mic. Participants have 3 minutes and can sign up on the night. Your MC, Peter Robinson. On April 7, at Jeff's Poetry at Smith's, Peter Goldsworthy from Adelaide and Sarah Rice. On Monday, April 14 at 7 p.m, that poetry thing at Smith's Alternative presents Sarah Temporal and Paul Collis. The next day, on Tuesday, April 15 at Smith's, at 6:30 p.m, Sarah Temporal leads a poetry workshop suitable for beginner to advanced writers. Submissions may be lodged until Monday, April 28, for the Anne Edgeworth Emerging Writers Fellowship for 2025. The fellowship, provided annually by the Anne Edgeworth Trust and administered by Marion, the ACT Writers' Centre, offers up to $5,000 to advance its recipients' writing development. The fellowship in the fields of poetry, fiction writing, non-fiction writing, screenwriting or playwriting honours and was set up by the family of the late Anne Edgeworth, also known as Anne Godfrey Smith, a prominent poet, writer, theatre director, academic, conservationist and activist for reconciliation. Anne Edgeworth compiled a vast archive of recordings of poetry readings and other literary events in the Canberra region until her death in 2011. The poetry archive is kept in the ArtSound archives and at the ACT Heritage Library. Marion, the ACT Writers Association, also has launched its inaugural Finding Beauty Poetry Prize, honouring Roger Green, 1955 to 2024, an environmental advocate, writer and editor, lover of poetry and thinker. His family has established the Finding Poetry Prize in his memory. Entries can be submitted via the Marion website until midnight on Monday, May 19. Marion will announce a shortlist on June 20 and the winner on Thursday, July 3 at the ACT Literary Awards in Canberra. Poetry on the Radio is produced on unceded First Nations country in the studios of ArtSound FM in Canberra. Series presenters are Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, who produced the program with Peter Monaghan. Our theme is an imagining of an ancient Greek hymn to the muse Calliope by Gregorio Paniagua and the Atrium Musica de Madrid.
Wrist on freeze, I keep a little satin for you pussy MCs. Uh-oh, who's on what? Don't tell my brothers, girl, we'll spin the whole block. Will we bang everything you got? Tell them little pussies that we take the whole lot. You ain't